The theme that we are going to give to this study is the work of the Holy Spirit upon the early church. That is the theme that we're going to use to carry us through the book of Acts. The work of the Holy Spirit upon the early church. And you will remember that Acts carries 28 chapters. And just from saying that, it indicates to us already that it is going to be a long study. Because we don't have Bible studies every week. And when we do, sometimes we does not cover a chapter. We oftentimes come back all three times for one chapter. So this is going to be a long study. And I'm going to ask you to be patient with us and please enjoy the ride. This Acts of the Apostle is a book that is going to cause you to want to ask plenty of questions. But we're going to ask you to be with us because we are not on any haste to finish it. We are not going to be rushing through it. We are going to wait upon it so that we will go through it and try to understand what it is that caused the early church to operate the way it did. And most of this is recorded there in Acts of the Apostle. And so we're going to start that series as of tonight. As much as we are not coming from Acts, but it has a lot to do with Acts. Because just like Jesus introduced the Holy Ghost to the disciples before they reach Acts, that is what we're going to do tonight. We are going to try to introduce the Holy Ghost to our company tonight and to see who the Lord Jesus is sending in his place, as you have heard read. We'd like to get into that, to get a better understanding of the Holy Ghost before we actually meet him in Acts of the Apostle. So that's where we are tonight. And we trust that you have your Bibles with you. There are going to be many scriptures tonight that we'll be looking on. And we trust that you will even share some of these scriptures with us. And the time is going to come in this study when you will be able to share your thoughts and also ask questions if there is one. So we look forward to this, and we trust that the Lord will bless us tonight in our studies. We are so glad to have all of you here with us tonight. And we pray that our hearts will be blessed as we look on God's word. Praise the Lord. And may I remind all of us that at the end of our study tonight, we will be saying a very happy birthday to one of our sisters that all of us know very well. Okay, so we look forward to that. Bless the Lord. As I've said before, that the theme for our study is the work of the Holy Spirit upon the early church. So we are not just going to look on the Holy Spirit, even though he is going to take center stage, but we are going to look on the servants of the Lord, how he empowered them. We're going to look on the members of the church, how they were affected by him. We're going to look on the ministry, how effective it was in the early church, so as to stand half all the attacks of the enemy and still cause the church to strive in an hostile environment. All of those things we're going to look on as we go into Acts. But for tonight, we're going to start where Jesus started. And that is in St. John chapter 16. And after Jesus made mention of quite a number of things to his disciples, quite a number of things, if you read from verse 1 in St. John 16, quite a number of things, and their heart became heavy. They were sad. And as a result of that, Jesus identified the sadness of their heart when he told them that he was going to go. But I like how he started here in verse 7 of St. John chapter 16. After all that he has said to them prior to this verse, and he discovered the sadness that they were experiencing, he said, nevertheless, I mean, despite all of what has been said and how you are feeling, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus was making sure that he conveyed to them the level of information that was so vital at this time. They now started to, the shoulders started to drop because they are learning that he is going to leave. And then he came back with a word of comfort now. In him saying, nevertheless, despite what I have said, despite what I have said to cause you to be sad, nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It is expedient for you. It is to your advantage that I go. Despite all that I have said, it is to your advantage that I go. And so there are three questions coming out of this passage which was read by our sister Jenny that we are going to try to answer tonight as we go through this introduction. Because they need to be answered, because these disciples, as they listen to Jesus, they need to hear more about what is going to happen next. So Jesus said here, it is to your advantage that I go. Nevertheless, I tell the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. He said. And listen to what he said here. After that. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now they are hearing this word of assurance, because Jesus included in this verse here that he is telling them the truth. He said, he's saying, believe me with what I am saying. I am your comforter for the time being, but when I go away, I will send you another comforter. Another comforter. And why is it that Jesus made a statement? Why Jesus made this most important statement in this verse here? We look at this in many different ways. And one of the interesting thoughts that comes out of this statement, this verse here, that Jesus made to his disciples, is the thought that Jesus being trapped in this human body, Jesus being trapped in this human body, can only be at one place at a time. He could not be in Jerusalem and be in Judea at the same time. He could not be in Samaria and anywhere else at the same time. He could only be at one place at a time. Because why? He is trapped in the human body. And so, he said to them, it is to your advantage. Of course, right now, they weren't seeing the details of Jesus' statement. They weren't seeing what Jesus was actually getting to. Because even when you look on this verse of scripture, you have to bring into it as well the fact that Jesus was ill-treated by the different attacks as he made his way to the cross. It was for their advantage. It was to their advantage. When he received the lashes, it was to their advantage. When he received the mockings, it was to their advantage, because he was on his way to his Father, but he had to go through Calvary. He could not have gone back to the Father without first going through Calvary. And Jesus was telling them that he had to go away. But going away to the Father means he had to go through Calvary. And experience all of the ill treatment that they don't have a clue of right here as he's speaking to them. But Jesus knew. But despite all of that, he was trapped in a body that allows him to be in one place at a time. But he promised another comforter. And this other comforter is able not to be in one place at a time, but is able to be everywhere at the same time. This is a tremendous advantage for them that Jesus, to them that Jesus go. So that they will have a new comforter who will be where? Everywhere at the same time. And it is this that takes us into our first question. Who is this third person? Who is this person that Jesus said is going to send as a comforter? Who is he? Are we going to try to see if we can meet him tonight, so that we are not surprised when we see him in Acts? So the first question to us tonight in this study is, who is he?
The Holy Ghost, sir.
Yes, my sister, certainly. He is, but let me start here, Sister Bennett. He is the third person of the Godhead. The Godhead consists of three persons, namely Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when Jesus, the Son, the second person of the Godhead, said, it is expedient for you, not for me. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. He is saying to his disciple, it is to your advantage that I go. Because if I does not go away, the third person of the Godhead will not be able to come. Because the reigning of the, in other words, the third person of the Godhead and the second person of the Godhead, it was not the counselor's decision. It was not the counselor's decision from eternity that both should be reigning at the same time, unless the Holy Spirit was working through the aspice, of Jesus, or another servant. But for him to be in charge of the work, he will have to be here by himself, and Jesus has to go. That is the eternal arrangement. And now the time has come when Jesus is about to finish his work and to depart back to the Father. It is time to introduce another era, the era, the dispensation of grace, which will be managed by the blessed Holy Spirit. So he is introducing the Holy Ghost to the disciples here and telling them that it is to your advantage that I go away. Bless the Lord. So the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Godhead, and we have the term Godhead used three times in the New Testament, and all three times they are used, it is refer to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Jesus mentioned here that I am going to send him unto you. And so John 16, the passage we have just read, verse 13, tells us that who he is. Let's look at it. Albeit, John 16:13, albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that is who he is. So we ask ourselves the question, who he is that is coming when Jesus is going? He is first the third person of the Godhead, and second, he is another counselor, another comforter, as Jesus may mention here. So there are three things we learn about him already. One, he is another comforter, as Jesus puts it here. Two, he is the third person of the Godhead. Three, he is the Spirit of truth, as recorded here in St. John 16, verse 13. And there are other scriptures that bear witness to this as well. For argument's sake, St. John 15, verse 26. Listen to how it's read. But when he, the Comforter, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceed from the Father, he shall testify of me. So here is the emphasis on him being the Comforter, and him being the Spirit of truth. Two verses in two different chapters indicate that to us. When we ask ourselves the question, who is he? And there is another verse of scripture that bear witness to us to who he is. St. John chapter 14, verse 26. No, verse 17. I could read 26 as well. St. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, again, listen to that. But the Comforter, which is who? The Holy Ghost. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And listen to verse 17. Let us go back down to verse 17. That is St. John chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelt with you and shall be in you. Note that line. He dwelt with you and shall be in you. So up to this point, Jesus is saying that he has not yet been in you. He shall be in you. You see what I'm saying here? So Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit to his disciples. And in so doing, he is saying to them, it is to your advantage that I go, so that the third person of the Godhead shall come unto you. That ends question number one. Jesus making this clear to them that don't worry, another Comforter is coming. Another Comforter is coming. In the person of the blessed Holy Spirit. And this must be quite satisfying to the disciples to know that, yes, Jesus said that he's going, and there's no reason why we should doubt him. He is going. But he is going to send us another Comforter. So the second question that we'd like to ask, and I'm going to break at the end of the second question for you to ask your question or make your statement tonight. The second question we would like to ask, coming out of John 16, who is sending him? Who is sending the third person of the Godhead? Obviously, he is not taking it upon himself to come. He's been sent unto us. So who is sending him? And we have some scriptures. Pardon me for the sound of the turning of the Bible leaves. We have some scriptures that we're going to look into to find out exactly how did the Holy Ghost reach here? Who it is that sent him? We have learned now who he is. But he is coming. How is he coming? And whose authority is he coming? So Luke chapter 24, verse 49 is the first scripture we will use in this era. Then Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Jesus speaking now. "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Jesus addressing the disciples as he show himself alive to them, and he is informing them about things that is about to happen. He said to them, "And behold, I send the promise." What the Father has promised that he was going to do. "I am going to send the promise. I am going to make sure that the promise of my Father is fulfilled by sending him unto you. But tarry here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." We go back to St. John again. St. John 14 and verse 16. Listen to what it says here. Jesus speaking again. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Jesus speaking again, emphasizing that the comforter is coming through the Father and himself. And I read John 14, verse 26 one more time, because it is important. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, we have it even clearer than before here. I read the first part again. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," Jesus is making absolutely clear here who the Comforter is. He is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. There goes the agreement again between Father and Son in sending the Holy Ghost. He is being sent by the Father and the Holy Ghost. And John 15, St. John 15, reading from verse 26 and 27. Listen to what it says. But when the Comforter, Jesus again speaking, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So we are now being made clearer as to exactly where the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is coming from. And verse 27 said, and he also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The coexistence of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Jesus is speaking of. I know him. He is with me from the very beginning. And not just the beginning of time, but the beginning of eternity, if eternity has a beginning. He was there from the beginning, the Holy Ghost. He didn't just pop up somewhere. He was the member, he was a member of the Godhead from eternity to eternity. He it is that is coming to the church, as Jesus will now have to go. And so it is important that we understand this, because he is coming from the divine council to the church. And when this happens, he is going to bring with him comfort. He is going to bring with him comfort for the disciples, who will now not see Jesus anymore, but they will be comforted by the Counselor, by the Comforter, whom Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go, so that he can come. What we are doing right now, we are introducing him to our company here tonight and to the church, so that when we meet him in Acts, we are not surprised about one, who he is, and two, who sent him. And three, we're going to look at after this. What is his mission? So as we introduce him tonight, I'm going to ask you to think carefully and tailor your questions or your suggestions. Yes, Pastor, you be the first to go.
I'm just highlighting here verse 7 of chapter 16. To the end of verse 7, you notice he says here, I will send him unto you. That's Jesus speaking to the disciples.
Exactly. But that I will send him unto you, always of the backing of the Father. Always of the backing of the Father. There to say it is a united effort that this be so, as far as that particular time in history is concerned. It was designed that this took place at that time. It is a promise of the Father that I sent him unto you. Yes. Thanks for that observation, Pastor.
And verse 8, 9, and 10 tells us exactly what the Holy Spirit is going to do.
Exactly. We'll get Yes, we will get into that a little bit more, Pastor, as we look on the third segment. As we look on the third segment of these three questions. The third questions. We will definitely look into that and more too. But I'm going to open up the telephones now and ask if there is a question, a suggestion, or a thought that you have that you'd like to lend to this study tonight. All right. While you are putting your thoughts together, let me go on. All right. So we come to the third question tonight. And the third question is, what is his mission? What is the mission of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth? And remember now, before I get into that, remember that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth for a special reason. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, I rather read it than quote it. Because it is important here. There are two scriptures there that we need to look on. Because he is called the Spirit of Truth for a reason. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. That's the first Timothy. No, Second Timothy, I beg your pardon. Second Timothy, I'm so sorry. It is Second Timothy chapter 16. 3:16. Second Timothy chapter 3:16 and 17. I read it. Remember what Jesus said. He is the Spirit of Truth. He is the Spirit of Truth. So, 1 Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 said, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Spirit of Truth, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. The inspiration of God means the blessed Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. He is the one who empowers all of those who brought the prophetic word that compiles this 66 book. It is his work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why Jesus addressed him as the Spirit of Truth. The Word of God is true. And it is he who inspires the heart of every prophet throughout the Old Testament and every person in the New Testament, on every book, all 66 books, is the inspired work of the Blessed Holy Spirit. But he's not the only one who make reference to this. We see the same thing in the epistles. Take for example Peter writing 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but only men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of truth, the inspired word of God, as we have it compiled in these 66 books, are from the bosom of the Holy Ghost, comes through God's servant as they were moved by him to convey a message from divine glory. He it is that Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I don't go, he will not come. His work is first here long before he came. Because Peter said, all the prophets of the Old Testament, they speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So his work precedes him. And here we have the Lord Jesus introducing him to be the leader and the representative of the church in this dispensation. I thought that was important that we go there and make that part of it very clear to us tonight. We are finding out more about the Holy Ghost. We are learning about him before we actually see him in Acts chapter 1. And so, as we said, we are going back to our third question. What is his mission as he come to us? We have stated already that he brings comfort. We have stated already that one of the things that he's going to bring is comfort. Because Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. So he brings comfort to the table. That is one mission that he brought. Comfort. Comfort the heart of the believer by reminding them about things that Jesus said. By encouraging our hearts that we should not fear. Fear not. By telling us that our Savior, our Redeemer lives. He is our comforter. He brings comfort to the table as he comes. And of course, Pastor Fiani points out verse 7 there, which is very important. And I go back over it again and read it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So vital that we keep that at the center of our thought, to realize that Jesus considered it important to inform the disciples that he's going to send him unto us.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just seeing here that the Spirit of Truth, he will not speak of himself. That is in John chapter 16:13.
Yes.
It says that howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the Spirit of Truth will not speak of himself. He's going to speak of Jesus, that's the obvious. Howbeit, in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So the spirit of truth is very, very involved and very important.
Exactly. Exactly, my sister. I'm glad you point out that particular verse, because I would like to spend a little time on that verse too, Sister Fiani. Very important here. Let's go there. Because that is in verse 16, as Jesus is introducing the third person of the Godhead to his disciples. And as he is saying some things to them, that is important for them to realize and to acknowledge. But before I actually go there, let me go back to John 16 and verse 8. This is one of the reasons why he is coming. John 16, and when he is come, Jesus said, he will what? Reprove. This is one of his mission. This is one of the mission that he, this is one of the responsibility that he's going to display. And when he is come, Jesus said, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And of course, the Lord detailed what all of these mean. In verse 9, he said, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, believe I, because I go to my Father and he see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And he went on to say, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. It means that despite all that Jesus had just said in regards to the Holy Ghost, there are much more things that he is going to do. But right now, the disciples are not in a position to bear everything that he would say about the Holy Ghost. The depth of the knowledge that Jesus knows about the ability of the Holy Ghost cannot be disclosed at this time. But he said one of the roles that the Holy Ghost has when he comes is that he, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He is going to cause the world to be aware of sinfulness. One of his responsibilities is to trouble the hearts of men, to bring awareness of sin to the heart of men for them to change and become a follower of Jesus.
Amen.
That is one of his responsibilities. When he is come, he is going to bother the conscience of men. He is going to tell a man where he is wrong and what he needs to do in order to change and clear his conscience. The Holy Ghost is going to cause men's conscience to come alive when they have sinned. He is going to cause them to be aware as to the fact that there is a God, and they need to change their heart, change their mind, change their approach, and serve him as he brings the awareness of sin to the heart and conscience of men. And he's also, at the same time, going to let them be aware of righteousness. Of righteousness, of the righteousness of God, of the holiness of God, that there is something better than what you are engaged in. There's another side to it, the side of holiness, the side of righteousness.
Amen.
So he's not just coming to warm bench, but he's coming to work. He's coming to work in the lives of the world, people of the world, and he's also here to work in the lives of the believer. And that is what now brings me to 13, Sister Fiani. Now 13 said, albeit when he, and all night long, you hear me quoting from the scripture, the pronoun he.
Amen.
This is coming from the lips of Jesus. When he, it means that the Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost is a person. And later on I will look on something else to prove that to you as well. But in the mind of Jesus, as he conveyed it to us, we are talking about the third person of the Godhead. So Jesus said here in verse 13, St. John 16, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he again will guide you into all truth. For he, the third time in one verse, shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he, four times in this verse. The pronoun he is used by none other than the Lord himself. When he, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he, the fifth time in this verse, speak. And he shall show you things to come. Look, this is no way a mistake that Jesus made. To quote the Holy Ghost as he, maybe five or six times here, is no coincidence. It is deliberate on Jesus' part to prove to us that he is a person. The sixth son of this verse that I would like to stress tonight is the section that says, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. It is in the middle of the verse. Whatsoever he shall hear. Jesus saying that whatsoever the Holy Ghost shall hear, that shall he speak. Brothers and sisters, let me freely say this to you tonight, that the Holy Ghost is the general secretary of the Godhead, on top of all that we have described about him tonight. He is our comforter. Amen. He is our comforter. He is the spirit of truth. And he is the third person of the Godhead. But on top of that, he is the general secretary of the Godhead. Because Jesus said here, in this verse here, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now we ought to ask our question here, church. Who is the Holy Ghost taking his cue from? Where is the headlines coming from? Is it from God, from White House? Is it from the White House? Is it that he goes to the White House and carry a notebook, and whatever Biden said, he write it down and come and tell the church? Is it that he goes to the Vatican, and whatever the Pope said, he write down something on a notebook and then come and tell the church? Is it that he goes to your house or my house with a little notebook and take what we have to say and then publish it to the wider church? Is that where he is getting his cue from?
Mm-hmm.
No. 1,000 times, no. It is from the council of the Godhead. As the Godhead could discuss the operation of the church, which is the body of Christ. Hallelujah. 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 As they commune, as they discuss the operation as to what is going to take place, what is the next move, and all the rest of it, what is the revelation coming from the council, he is summoned by the Godhead to bring this information to the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he makes sure that he's not speaking of himself.
He is not speaking of himself, Sister Fiani. He does not come here to talk about how beautiful he is. He does not come here to talk about how long he's in existence. That is not what Jesus said he's going to do. Jesus said he will talk about me.
Mm.
Hallelujah. He will glorify me. Hallelujah. And so that's why when we come to church, that's why when we come into church, let us use the opportunity that we have to lift up the name of Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to let everybody know that we know Jesus and we love him and the things he has done for us. I'm saying to you tonight, one of the outstanding service that we have is the communion service.
Yes.
Because Jesus said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. The communion service is exhibit number one to be clear that this is the broken body of Jesus. To be clear that this is the shed blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why it is such a solemn service in the church. And when the Holy Ghost is here, the Holy Ghost is here, he's going to speak about what he hears. Whatever he shall hear, whatever he has heard, whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak.
Amen.
That shall he speak. And you know, when I saw this, I just went back to something that the Apostle Paul said. Something the Apostle Paul said. Because we need the scripture to answer to the scripture to verify what we are saying. 2 Corinthians 12. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said here. And for emphasis, the apostle repeats himself twice by conveying to us the anointing that he was under when he made these statements. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I read from verse 2 to verse 4. This is what it says. I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell. Such anointing he was under. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God know it. Such a one caught up to the third heavens. Listen to him repeating the verse again. Because it is so important that the readers get where the brother is coming from. He was under heavy anointing by the Holy Ghost. And he wants everybody to get it. So he repeats himself again. Verse 3. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God know it. So listen to what he's saying here in verse 4. Oh, that he was caught up into paradise, the third heaven that he mentioned over here, and heard. Listen to that, church. Jesus said here, whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. That is what he said over here in St. John 16, verse 13. But listen to the Apostle Paul verifying the fact of this level of conversation. I read verse 4 again. Oh, that he was caught up into paradise and heard. He said he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Oh, blessed be the name of our God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God. The Apostle Paul is backing up, for want of a better word, the words of the Lord Jesus here, by saying this level of conversation does take place in paradise, in the third heavens, because he was caught up in the spirit. He was under the anointing that he could not even identify whether he was in the body or out of the body. And he managed to hear language, words unspeakable, that it was not lawful for man to utter.
Wow.
But you see, he Oh, hallelujah!
Yes.
Was here in heaven
the
now.
General Secretary of the Godhead was able to take from him and make it known unto us.
Mm.
Can you say praise the Lord, church? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. The Holy Ghost who is coming out of the council. The Holy Ghost who is the third person of the Godhead. The discussion that takes place there that Paul could not anger. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, has the ability to break it down and to convey it to a vessel in the church. That is another aspect of the thing. Because you are not going to hear, it is the voice of the Holy Ghost, yes. But the Holy Ghost will come and use a channel in the church. This is another dimension of the whole thing. That the Holy Ghost, when he comes and he uses a vessel in the church.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, open up yourself to the movement of the blessed Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm sending him to the church.
Amen, amen. Amen.
And look here. Jesus, is that while the Holy Ghost has the responsibility to bring back things to our remembrance, the things that Jesus taught, the thing that Jesus said, the thing that Jesus did, all of those, Jesus said, whatsoever he shall hear, it means then that there are things that are going to be spoken in the future that the Holy Ghost will bring to our hearts, which is fresh bread. Come Amen. On, church.
Praise Amen.
Praise his name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I think we're in for a long ride here.
Yes.
I think we... I didn't realize the time passed. We passed 9 o'clock already. But we are in for a long. There are so much things here to discover, to learn about the Holy Ghost and the operation of the church that we need to pay special attention to.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm touching on, look here, I would like to say some other things, but let's hold on that. I just want to introduce three things here, and then we might just leave it right here for tonight. One, we talk about almost six times in one verse that we discover Jesus addressed the Holy Spirit with his pronoun he. But we are learning from the scripture that the same Holy Ghost can be quenched.
Mm-hmm.
We can quench his operation. The fire in the temple way back there never goes out. Leviticus will tell you that fire must keep burning 24. In fact, there were priests who were assigned to keep the fire going in the temple from time to time. Amen. That coal must Amen. Never go out.
Amen.
So it is the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer. The believer needs to be on fire at all times. We are Amen. Not feeling that fire among us. And that's why the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, stir up! Stir up! Stir up the gift that is in you. Hallelujah. Let some fire start blazing. Let the coal start to shine. Let us stir up. Let there be warmth.
Amen.
And I'm saying to the Apostolic Church in America, stir up, let us stir up the gift.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
If that is
let us stir up one another so that we don't quench the Holy Ghost operation. The Holy Ghost wants us to say, you know, there's a church in Revelation that the Lord said, if you are hot, you're neither hot nor cool, but because you are lukewarm, I'm spewing you out of my mouth. He wants the church to be hot.
Amen.
Yes. Neither hot nor cool. He wants the church of God to be hot.
Amen.
So let us not suppress. Let us not choke water on the fire, but instead encourage the fire to blaze.
Yes.
So that is one. And two, the Holy Ghost can be grieved.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost can be grieved. When I read Ephesians 4, and I think from verse 29, I think, go down, and see the different things that are there, the different things that practice in the church. It grieves. The word said the Holy Spirit was grieved. And to know that he is the one that seals us into the body of Christ.
Yes.
His stamp of approval is there to say, yes, welcome to the body of Christ. And what happened? When he looked, he see us doing things that we shouldn't have done. He is grieved. We are being introduced to the body of Christ, to the Holy Ghost. And from what we see here, we are going to see how he worked in the whole early church to make all the difference so that the onslaught that came against the early church, how the early church was able to survive because of him.
Amen. Amen.
And we will be looking at that as of next Bible study as we officially start Acts of the Apostle. There are a lot more that on my plate right now that I would like to convey to you, but time will not allow me. So for tonight, I trust that you understand the three questions that were asked coming from John 16. One, who healed the Holy Ghost? Two, who is sending him as Jesus introduced him? And three, what is his mission?
Amen.
Amen.